नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय The reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 13, Descriptions of Future Manus, text number 12 and 13. So which one is on the board? 13, huh? Yeah, well, it's 12 and 13. There's no purport to the 12. Anyway, we'll read. But the verse is 13. Yeah. Tatra deva sutapasho viraja amrita prabha tesham virochana suto balir indro bhavishyati. Translation: in the period of the eighth manu, among the demigods will be the sutapas, the Virajas, and the Amrita Prabhas. The king of the demigods, Indra, will be Bali Maharaj, the son of Birochana. So translation, please repeat. In the period of the eighth Manu, among the demigods, will be the Sutapas, the Virajas, and the Amrita Prabhas. The king of the demigods, Indra, will be Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana. Text 13. Datve mam yachamanaya Vishnaveya param trayam Radham Indra padam hitva Tata siddhim avapsyasi yati Dattva, giving in charity. Imam, this entire universe. Yachamanaya, who was begging from him. Vishnave, unto Lord Vishnu. Yaha, Bali Maharaj. Padatrayam, three paces of land. Radham, achieved. Indrapadam, the post of Indra. Hitva, giving up. Tata, thereafter. Siddhim, perfection. Avapsyati, will achieve. Translation: Bali Maharaj gave a gift of three paces of land to Lord Vishnu, and because of this charity, he lost all the three worlds. Later, however, when Lord Vishnu is pleased because of Bali's giving everything to him, Bali Maharaj will achieve the perfection of life. Translation, please repeat. Bali Maharaj gave a gift of three paces of land to Lord Vishnu. And because of this charity, he lost all the three worlds. Later, however, when Lord Vishnu is pleased because of Bali's giving everything to him, Bali Maharaj will achieve the perfection of life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 3, it is stated, Manushyanam sahasresu kaschid yadati siddhaye. Out of many millions of people, one may attempt to achieve success in life. This success is explained here, Radham Indra Padam Hitva Tata Siddhim Avapsyati. Siddhi consists of achieving the favor of Lord Vishnu, not the yoga siddhis. The yoga siddhis, Anima, Lagima, Mahima, Prapti, Prakamya, Ishitva, Vashitva, and Kama Vasayitva, are temporary. The ultimate siddhi is to achieve the favor of Lord Vishnu. Tattvimam yachamanaya vishnaveya padatrayam radham indra padam hitva tata siddhim avapsyati. Bali Maharaj gave a gift of 3 paces of land to Lord Vishnu, and because of this charity, he lost all the 3 worlds. Later, however, when Lord Vishnu is pleased because of Bali's giving everything to him, Bali Maharaj will achieve the perfection of life. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manuvistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanandigam Adadanas Trinandandai Ridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo Tulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance. With my spiritual masters, open my eyes at the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So here it's describing all the different manus. In one day of Lord Brahma, there's 14 manus. So previous chapter described up to 7. Now, 7, and now 8 to 14 is being described. So 8th manu is Savarni. And during this period of Savarni, the Indra will be Bali Maharaj. Because Bali Maharaj, he was the son of Virochana, who was a great daitya, demon. So naturally the demons are always envious of those who are enjoying very peacefully. So in the heavenly planets, Indra and all the demigods, they're enjoying very peacefully. We always read about the fights between the demigods and the demons, but it's never the demigods who go out looking for the fight. The demigods are having a good time. Why bother to have a fight? They're all enjoying very nicely. But demons means if somebody is enjoying peacefully, he must disturb him. That's the nature of the demon. We see, somehow or other in our lives, that there's always some person, for no reason other than we're very peaceful, they come to bother us for some reason or other. So this is demoniac mentality. The demigods are having a good time. They never go out looking for a fight. So Bali Maharaj, under the instruction of his guru, Chukracharya, he attacked the demigods to try to take over heaven. Of course, the demigods being favored by Lord Vishnu, they were, the Bali Maharaj was unsuccessful. In fact, he lost his life in the attempt to take over heaven. But Chukracharya was so powerful, he gave Bali back his life. Then he advised Bali Maharaj that you give charity to the Brahmins and you perform the Viswajit Yajna. You can understand Visva Jit. Jit we know means to conquer. And Visva means the world. So he began giving charity to the Brahmins and taking care of them very nicely. Because the Brahmins are very dear to Lord Vishnu. Because the only purpose of Brahman in this world is to... they live only for the welfare of others, real Brahman. Of course, nowadays they only live for collecting. But really Brahman means to give. To give the highest gift, that is spiritual knowledge. So they, because they're giving, everyone in this world is absorbed in sense gratification and in sinful life. If somebody is giving knowledge of spiritual life, then Lord Vishnu becomes very pleased. So he's very partial to the Brahmins. So he was pleasing all the Brahmins very nicely, even though he was a demon. We see sometimes the demons are very clever. And he performed this Visvajit Yajna. And then they began to make preparations to attack the demigods. The demigods heard that Bali Maharaj is coming again to attack. They went to Brihaspati, their guru. He said, because he has pleased the Brahmins very nicely and performed this yajna, therefore it will be very difficult for you to defeat him this time. Better you all hide yourselves. So the demigods all hid. Taking advice of their guru, they all hid. So that time, Bali Maharaj, very easily he took over the post of Indra. So we know Indra is the king of heaven. King of heaven means he's king of the whole universe, the three worlds, upper, lower, and middle. So he began enjoying very nicely. And he continued performing yajnas under the instruction of his Sukracharya. So anyway, it's a very long story. Somehow Aditi was very unhappy that her sons had been kicked out of heaven. And she performed this Payavrata ceremony in order to get a son who would be able to get rid of Indra. And eventually, she gave birth to a very wonderful son named Bamandev, who appeared decorated with chakra, gada, padma, and what did we miss? Shankha. And very effulgent and very beautiful. And then he transformed himself into a Brahmin dwarf, complete with his umbrella, his kamandalu, his little danda. And he heard that the descendants of Bhrigu, they were performing great big yajna for Bali Maharaj. So he decided to go to that yajna to protect the demigods, for the favor of the demigods. And by a sneaky way, he was going to take everything away from Bali Maharaj. It is like in Bhagavad Gita said, Lord says, I am the gambling of cheats. If somebody wants to cheat, then there's no greater, even Lord is the greatest cheater. Cheater we usually think of in a very bad way. We hear someone's a cheater, then we think very bad about him. Or someone is a thief, oh, we really hate thieves. In fact, the Brijbasis, they say, what is that? Vrindavan vas badi katin miri bhai. Vrindavan vas badi katin miri mai. Bhai re bandar bitare chui. Chor bara dukadai. Vrindavan vas badi katin miri mai. My dear mother, this Vrindavan vas is very difficult. Bhai re bandar. Bhai re, you know, like Baharanga Shakti. Bhai re means outside is bandar. Monkey is bothering. Bitare means inside. Chua, you got some nice Mahaprasad from the Krishna Balaram Mahaprasad stall, and you think, oh, tomorrow morning I'll break my Ekadasi fast with this nice Mahaprasad, and you set it on your table and you went nicely to sleep, and in the night all the rats came and ate it all. Or sometimes you'll even find the rat is crawling on your neck and he's chewing on your neck beads. So outside, monkey is giving trouble. Inside, chua, mouse is giving trouble. And chor bada dukadai. And thief is always giving too much pain, too much sorrow. Chor bada dukadai. This Vrindavan Vas is very difficult. Bari katin miribai. So nobody likes chor. But Krishna, he's famous as Makanchor. Sometimes, people from other religions, they can't, oh, you're worshipping a god who was a thief. But I tell you, if God would personally come to steal something from me, I would be very happy. If God would personally come to steal from me, then I would consider it a great honor. That somehow or other I got contact. So, generally cheating, we don't like it all. But Lord said, I am gambling. He's the greatest of all cheaters. So under the guise of begging for 3 steps of land, he's going to take the whole universe from Bali Maharaj. In fact, to leave Bali, he'll take with just 2 steps, he'll take the whole universe that we're going to see. So he went to the sacrifice of Bali Maharaj. And everybody turned around. He was glowing, beautiful, golden effulgence, carrying his umbrella, his little kamandalu, his danda, wearing his special type of cloth, and a girdle of bunja grass, and a very special Brahman thread. Everybody turned around. Bali Maharaj also saw, whoa, this beautiful Brahman has come. Dwarf Brahman. Vamana means dwarf. It's like, actually, the Brijbasis, when they say Brahman, they say Baman. You go in the village, oh, Baman. So he became dwarf Brahman, Baman. And everyone turned around. Now Shukracharya, seeing his beauty, he got some doubt in his heart. Then he came to Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj very nicely welcomed him. He offered him flower garland. He offered flowers to his lotus feet. He washed his lotus feet, sprinkled the water on his head. That water that has washed the lotus feet of Vamandev, that is flowing on the head of Lord Shiva. That same water that's flowing on the head of the Lord Shiva carries on his head. And so he's so proud to be carrying that water. That same water that washed the feet of Vamandev, he put on his head. So we can just imagine how much pious activities he was amassing. Then he asked Vamandev, he could see that he was a young brahmachari, so he asked, what do you want? You want jewels, you want gold, you want silver, you want diamonds, you want pearls? Perhaps some nice princess. Oh, but you're a brahmachari, you don't know these things. And Vamandev said, no, I just want 3 steps of land. Are you have come to me, I'm ruling. Now Bali Maharaj becomes very puffed up. I'm ruling the whole universe. I can give you an entire planetary system. What is this 3 paces of land? And Lord Brahman said, if someone is not satisfied with easily is gotten in his life, he'll never be satisfied. And those words pierced the heart of Bali Maharaj. Those words pierced his heart. Because actually he was seeing, he had achieved the lordship over the 3 worlds. Still, his heart was still, more, I want more. Therefore he was continuing to perform yoga. I want more power, more wealth. Even though he had everything, he was still dissatisfied. So those words pierced his heart. He was astonished. This little boy, what he has said is true. I've got everything, but still I'm not satisfied. Said, all I need is 3 steps of land, and I will be satisfied. Then the Sukracharya, he became very... Only Lord Vishnu can speak these words. It's some trick. So he told Bali Maharaj, don't give him. But Bali Maharaj has already promised that whatever you want, I'll give. And there are verses there in this chapter that says, earth can bear the weight of so many things. We see big, big, tall buildings. You go to Dubai, you can see the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. Earth somehow bearing the weight of that building. Now they're building one building, it's going to be almost kilometer high. Still the earth is bearing that. But she cannot bear the weight of a liar. This verse is there in this chapter. In that particular chapter. So now he's in trouble. His guru has told him not to give. He's promised already to give. What should he do? So he is thinking, if I become a liar, what is the use of even my life? One whose reputation is ruined, just like they say, if wealth is lost, nothing is lost. If health is lost, then something is lost. But if reputation is lost, then everything is lost. So Bali Maharaj, what is the use of all my wealth, of everything? I'm coming from a great line of... Even Prahlad Maharaj is in his line. As a king, I have given my word. If I don't keep my word, then I will be scorned by the people. Then what is the use of living? When people look at you, wherever you go, everyone just looks at you, the corner of their eye, oh, that's the guy. He didn't keep his word, he's a king. He didn't keep it. Then what is the use of living like that? That every time everyone sees you out of the corner of their eye, thinking bad things about you. Better to die. So he thought, let me disobey my spiritual master. Generally we don't recommend such a thing. Because Sukracharya gave him so many reasons. He said, if one is joking, or if one is in danger, or if, so many reasons he gave, one can break his word. But he thought, this is not correct. So he immediately granted him, you take 3 steps of land. And suddenly Vamandev began to grow into enormous size. He began to cover the entire universe, lower planetary systems up to the earthly planet he was covering. Then he took his 2nd step that covered all the way up to the Brahmaloka. When the toenail of his foot was so beautiful, that Brahmaloka, when you just imagine how effulgent Brahmaloka is, the topmost planetary system. It was beauty, its effulgence was diminished in front of the beauty of the toe of Lord Vamandev. And just having that, you imagine having a huge toe there in your universe, in your planet. They began to worship Lord Vamandev and wash his toe and so many. They were very happy and sing the glories of the Lord. So then Lord Vamandev in this huge form, he said, now where is my 3rd step? You have promised 3 steps. Where is my 3rd step? You have become a liar. You promised 3. Where is you? And immediately Garuda, understanding the purpose of the Lord, he arrested Vamandev with the ropes of Varuna. I don't know what's special about the ropes of Varuna, but it's always mentioned it's the ropes of Varuna. I don't know what's... Is there something special, Maharaj? You don't know either, all right. And Bali Maharaj, in that helpless condition, he began to pray to the Lord. So many wonderful prayers are there. He said, my dear Lord, I have one more place for you to place your foot. I promise 3 steps. You've arrested me because I cannot keep my word, but I will keep my word. You kindly place your 3rd step here on my head. So Lord Brahmadev put his third step on his head. So he's Bali Maharaj. When we talk about the Navavida Bhakti, the one that is Atmanivedana. The example is always giving Bali Maharaj, just like Shravan is Prishit Maharaj, Kirtan is Sukadev Goswami, like that. So the example, the emblem of surrendering everything to the Lord, is he gave everything, gave the whole universe away, then nothing left. He gave his own self, his own body. And Lord was so pleased. Here is talking about perfection, siddhi. This was the perfection of life. Lord was pleased with him because he offered, he had nothing left, only his self. He offered himself to the Lord. The Lord was pleased. He achieved perfection. Prabhupada says here, manushyanam sahasresha, out of millions of people, hardly anyone endeavors perfection. Even in those who achieve perfection, only one gets perfection. As you hear, Prabhupada talks about all the cities, Lagima, Prapti, etc. Just like we were in Kumbh Mela, you can go and you can see yogis, with they can do some tricks. Prabhupada told when he was in Kumbh Mela, there's yogis here, they come from other planets. There's yogis here that are hundreds of years old. Of course, if you don't see them with big, big pandal and microphone blaring away, they're hiding somewhere in the Kumbh Mela. But you can see with these types of cities. But these are all temporary. Just like there was one famous, amongst ISKCON infamous, but anyway, he was a famous guy in South India who was claiming to be incarnation of God. And one time the DM of Mathura came to his ashram to see him. So he sat the DM next to him. And then DM, he was a learned fellow, he could understand that he has left his body. By his mystic power, he's gone somewhere. So after a few minutes, he returned, and he had a little garland that on Siddha Loka, there was one yogi, he was worshipping his deity. He made this flower garland for his deity. So I have stolen it from him and brought it for you. And he gave him this extraordinary garland. The deity was a learned fellow. He said, if he's actually God, why he has to steal from some poor yogi? He took so much trouble to make this garland for his deity. He went there and stole it. If he's God, he'll just make a flower garland. Why to steal it from some poor yogi? So DM can understand this bogus. He had such power, but he's a bogus fellow. These things are temporary. To hear real perfection of life is somehow or other to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the real perfection of life. So Bali Maharaj pleased the Lord. The Lord gave him Sutala planet to stay and became his doorman. He's standing there with his chakra to protect. Nobody can bother Bali Maharaj. To achieve perfection of life. So this all happened in the eighth Manu. So we have a few minutes left. We'll describe today is also the disappearance day of Madhvacharya, in whose sampradaya we're actually coming. This is Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. So he was born in a village near Udupi in 1238. In a family of very, very learned brahmanas. And very quickly he became very advanced in spiritual life. He received initiation at the age of 8, and he took sannyas at the age of 12 from a Chutta Preksha, who gave him the name Purna Pragya. He took sannyas, he became Purna Pragya, right? And he traveled, quickly he became very famous because he was initiated by a Vaishnava guru. He became very learned in Vaishnava philosophy, and he understood that this Mayavad philosophy is very cruel. depriving people of the greatest gift of the service of the Lord, to become a servant of the Lord. And Chutta Preksha, seeing his, even he would argue with his guru and defeat his guru sometimes, the guru realized this guy is going to do something in history. So he made him in charge of the mutt and gave him the name Anandatirth. So later he decided, he traveled all over South India and he made it his vow to defeat this Mayavad philosophy. So everywhere he went, people were frightened of him. But one old Mayavad sannyasi became irritated by his arguments and said, "Why are you criticizing the age-old Bhashya of Shankara? If you can, better you write your own." He said, "Yes, I will. In the future, I will write my own Bhashya, my own commentary on Vedanta." He took it to heart that he's right, that I can criticize Shankara's Bhashya, but what other Bhashya is there? So after his South Indian tour, there was one thing. I don't know the story, but somehow it's mentioned that in his youth, when he was 8 years old, there was some giant serpent or something with his big toe. You know the story?
Maniman.
It came in the form of a python.
Big snake.
Anyway, somehow with his big toe, he smashed this big snake. Even he performed very wonderful activities, even in his youth. And he was quite robust. He was very healthy, and he engaged in wrestling and swimming and many sports throughout his life. He never gave up. He was always very famed, very powerful. Whenever we see the picture of Madhvacharya, he's got very powerful physique. And he continued all these sports even up to his old age. And many wonderful things he did. So after his tour of south, he decided to go to the north. He made his way all the way up to Badrik Ashram. And there he stayed in Badrik Ashram for 48 days, fasting and performing special penances and austerities. Then he decided to go up to where Vyasadeva was staying. And he went alone, and he personally got darshan of Vyasadeva, who encouraged him to, "Yes, now you write your own commentary on Vedanta Sutra and present the Vaishnava understanding." So receiving the blessings of Vyasadeva, he began this his Bhashya of Vedanta Sutra. And he defeated everyone in north also. And finally, he adopted the name Madhva. He was Anandatirtha, Purnapragya, Anandatirtha, and now Madhva. And later, he decided to take a second trip to Badrik Ashram. But at that time, the Muslims were ruling over northern India, and it was very difficult to travel. But he was fearless. He was a very powerful guy, so he was fearless. So they had smashed all the bridges for people. They didn't want the Hindus to go to Badrik Ashram, so they'd smashed all the bridges. But to get there, you have to cross over Ganga. So Madhvacharya was so powerful, he had all his disciples, you know, one after another. They all grabbed onto him, and he swam across with them like a big chain, swimming across the Ganga. He was so powerful, he could carry all his disciples across the Ganga. They got the other side. There was one sultan was there, Khilji. And he demanded to know why he had crossed the river when it is forbidden for the Hindus to enter that area. And somehow Madhvacharya was so powerful in his arguments that he defeated even the Muslim king who gave him permission to go to Badrik Ashram with all his disciples. So he specifically, his philosophy was Dvaita, that Lord and the living entity are separate. So like whenever you see Madhvacharya, this huge fellow, he's always got two fingers like this, that Lord and the living entity are separate. This is called Dvaita philosophy, as opposed to the Mayavad Advaita, that you, me, everyone, we're all God. How we forgot, we don't know, but anyway, somehow we're God. Which is amazing, because even in the Christian catechism school, the first thing the child is taught is God knows everything. Isn't it? Those of you from West, you know, the first thing you're taught, God knows everything. It's somehow or other, we're God, but we've forgotten. And so even this little child in the Christian catechism class, he's a greater philosopher than the Mayavad philosophers. If God is all-powerful, how he can forget? If he's all-knowing, how he can forget? That they can't explain. So God and the living entity are different. These are all different ways of relishing the actual reality, because the whole situation is inconceivable. So he preached Dvaita, and Mahaprabhu preaches Achintya Beda Beda Tattva, that we're simultaneously one and different from God. But this is all just different ways of relishing the Supreme Tattva. And one thing, when he was in North India, he went to Navadvip. And there he saw Lord Chaitanya in dream, and Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with him. He said, I will take initiation in your sampradaya. You preach widely, whatever you're doing great, I'm very happy, and I will take my initiation in your sampradaya. And then that beautiful form disappeared, and Madhva was crying and crying. The celestial voice said, don't worry, worship me in secret, you will come to me. So very secretly he was worshipping Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he taught that we're the Lord and the living entities are different. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. The only way to achieve him is by service. All our wonderful Vaishnava philosophy he preached, and one of his main disciples was a big Mayavadi, I can't remember his name. He also became his disciple after being thoroughly thrashed philosophically by Madhvacharya. And on this day, a few hundred years ago, while the devotees were showering flowers at him, Madhvacharya disappeared from this world. So we're celebrating that day. It's a very important day for us because we're in this, because this sampradaya is coming down from Lord Brahma. And we're very fortunate to be in this Brahma sampradaya, because Brahma, he's incarnated as the hill of Barsana. We call it Brahma Parvat, Brahma Chal. And we know Barsana is the living place of Srimati Radharani. So Radharani was running all over this hill. Lord Brahma was getting the touch of the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika all over his head. So we can't imagine the immense fortune that we have to be in this Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Srila Madhvacharya Ki Jai. Question. Where's Bhakta Mike? Oh, there he is. Okay.
So in the bottom of this section, there's many references of kings and emperors and rulers and their sons and their sons and their sons and different names. What is the benefit for us to hear all these names and rulers and descendants, which will be described in the Bhagavatam as such important literature?
I also have the same question, but anyway, somehow Sukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva, they decided that these things were important, so we just listened to them, and their names are always wonderful, and our hearts will be purified by hearing them. I also, when they told me, eighth canto, description of the Manus, what am I going to say? Luckily it was one who was full of Leela, so I could speak something. Yes.
So I guess that's what the children in the Quran is first subject.
genealogy, yeah. Yeah, one of the symptoms of Puranas is that they describe the genealogy, so it's nice for us to know all these things. Nice to hear all these names. It's all ancient history from millions and millions of years ago. It's interesting. So there's no other questions or comments, then we'll all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's given us the real siddhi to surrender to Krishna. See the Prabhupada ki.